Hey, this is Ollie Gordon, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by Cody Carpentier. I'm joined by the Trash Man here on this big, big Monday episode on the podcast feed and the YouTube channel. So happy to have you guys here with us as we're going to be doing a three-man mock draft, a Dynasty Rookie Draft, a 2025 Dynasty Rookie Draft. We decided about 30 seconds ago that we're going to do this, and we're going to do it Superflex, non-tight end premium. We're going to see how many rounds we get through here on the show. Hopefully we can get through four or five. Anything you guys want to start with? Any news, anything around the league you think's interesting? You think that reading anything into this news about Cam Ward, talking about how they're going to structure the offense to get the ball out of his hands quickly?
I don't know. The one thing that I think we brought up right before the show was this confirmation of the rumor of Tank Dell that he's going to more than likely miss the entirety of the 2025 season. Like, am I wrong to completely bury him in Dynasty? Because I listen to the Houston radio every morning because Lance Zierlein and John Granato are on there, and I like listening to him. And Lance
is just their like, voices.
Yeah,
Lance has good info, dude.
He does. He'll just like throw nuggets in there, and I think that's just kind of what reels me in. He'll just say random things, and I'm like, huh, that's good to know. But anyway, they've been talking about Tank Dell for months, and they've just been like, yeah, he's not playing this year. Like, they've just been saying it like open. Like, he's not playing, and we don't know if he's ever going to play football again. Like, they've just been saying this. And I just completely tanked him in Dynasty down, like, literally, like, number 237 in one quarterback.
Well, I just, like, who's going to want him in Dynasty? Like, let me just look at the – okay, so I'm going to look at the Dynasty top 250. We'll have some shows on this week because Cody and I think Cody's basically done doing the post-rookie updates. Trash Man's almost done. So we're gonna talk about that. So it looks like there's some people here in the sheet right now. So they'll be looking on here with us, I suppose. But Tank Dell. Oh, so Trash Man, you're gonna have to move him down a little bit.
I don't want to.
You're gonna.
That's the question. That's why I brought it up, because I'm like, man, I just completely. You can see my move. I moved him down 128 spots because it's like, you know, where I had him was right there around 100. So, you know, Trash Man was higher than me anyway, which I would expect. But, like, I think I just, like, released the levy and just let him drop. And,
I mean, he's going to be
– you got to drop him off.
I kept him in the top 250.
If I can have Tank Dell high, I don't want him at all. Just, like, get him off of the list. I mean, like – When he gets to a condition where he's actually playing football, then have him on the top 250. But until then, I don't think it makes sense.
I think he's borderline droppable in Dynasty at this point.
Well, I was going to say, most Dynasty leagues at least have a couple IR spots. But
I'm in some FFPC drafts right now for rookie drafts, and there's drafts I'm in where I can draft Adonai Mitchell. Like, people have already dropped Adonai Mitchell in Dynasty.
If people are dropping him, they're cut downs. Your cut downs have likely already come, but if they haven't, you're still doing Dynasty rookie drafts. You know, cut downs are going to come. Tank Dells of the world, and like if guys like Adonai are getting cut out of there during cut downs, it's like guys like Tank Dell. You're going to get a small 27-year-old wide receiver back coming off of one of the worst injuries that we've ever seen. And who knows by then what's gonna happen with some of the new pieces that they put in place. So it's like, yeah. I don't know. I think the Tank Dell is pretty much worthless right now in Dynasty outside of the deepest of deep leagues, and it's gonna take a real truther status to hold on to him. So one of the updates to keep an eye out for Trash Man as we kind of go through here with Tank Dell, just about Cam Ward, like. Do you guys think at all the reports about him
them designing the offense to get the ball out of his hands quickly, just to make up for any issues they could possibly have on the offensive line and stuff like that. Cody, how do you think that that stylistically goes with, you know, the evaluation that we've taken on him, just as far as his overall skill set and style of play? And then two, I was reading the blurb on Roto World, and, you know, whoever did the blurb was saying, like, you know, I'm not sure how good this is for Calvin Ridley because he had like a 16-yard average depth of target, all this stuff like that. They have some new players coming in. I don't know, like, what Elik Iyemanner went there, right? Like, yeah. Elik Iyemanner, they got, yeah, Xavier Restrepo as an undrafted free agent. Who was the one there? They had one, they drafted one other
Chim Dike, yeah, in the fourth.
Yeah, so Chim Dike, who's another kind of downfield burner.
Van Jefferson's downfield, like a stretch guy, like
not it, but he's a little slower, but
did,
yeah,
you say Dinger Helm?
Van Jefferson ran a 4.3, dog.
Have I forgotten that he's a 4.3 guy?
Yeah.
He shouldn't play. Ooh, he shouldn't play like it. Are you sure?
4.3?
Van Jefferson ran a 4.39.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, at least it's closer to a 4.4. That's bad. I forgot about that. But he seems slow, dude. But anyway. Yeah. Gunnar Helm. I don't know. Chig.
What this does, I mean, if
off to Spears and Pollard?
No, it's Spears and Pollard. They get the bump.
Strepo.
You know, if you're wanting to get the ball in their hands quick, you know, like screens to and short passes to the running backs who, I mean, are built for that. That's what that makes sense there.
I legitimately think Xavier Strepo is making that team.
Oh, he's not only is he making that team, dude, he might like.
He could start.
Yes. It's one of the dumbest things that might happen. Like, very rarely do you get to be like, yeah, man, this undrafted guy's for sure making that roster. Like, I think he's for sure making that roster.
Yeah, I think so too. Well,
and they're in rookie camp right now. Like, they were literally at Miami. You know, they won, what, 10 or 11 games together. And then they went through this pre-draft process. And now they're like, oh, we're in Tennessee together at rookie camp. Okay, so now they're immediately with the Titans together. Like,
yeah,
it's already built. It's already built, and if you're telling me that they're going to try and get the ball out early, like, okay, so who's the closest guy to the line of scrimmage? Restrepo.
Yeah, he can't get that far out.
He can't go downfield.
Yeah, dude. So, hey, he might end up going in this draft. So let's go and get started. I see the Roster Watch logos on top of the picks. Am I up first?
You're up first, yeah.
Okay, so, again, Superflex, non-tight end premium. Everything else just, you know, standard how your drafts are going to be, right? PPR, all that stuff. And with the first pick, it's the same as always. Take no explanation. I'm going to go Ashton Jeanty.
That was easy.
Yep.
Trashman, you're up.
In that case, you know, I'll take Cam Ward.
Okay.
I mean, I would take Travis Hunter, but I think being on the same offense with Brian Thomas Jr., it could be – I mean, I think it's Higgins at best, right, for either one of them. I mean
– what? Higgins at best for Travis Hunter?
Yeah.
No, he's a totally different kind of player. Travis Hunter is the kind of guy who can come in – I mean, look, I'm not
– No, I said for either. One of those guys is going to be the 1B. I mean – I don't know how we're expecting both of these guys to play on this offense and both of them to be, you know, premier top-tier wide receivers on a weekly basis with Trevor Lawrence under center.
I think what it says is that as you guys are updating the Dynasty Top 250, especially in Superflex, you should bump up Trevor Lawrence. Liam Cohen, Travis Hunter, Brian Thomas. Things are looking up for that guy for sure.
Okay, they're looking up for Lawrence, sure, but there's not going to be enough to go around for all of those guys to be as good as
Travis Hunter's one of the sickest men I've ever seen. Trash.
That's great, but I mean, you still have to split targets with Brian Thomas Jr. and he's not the only one.
Let us not forget that Brian Thomas Jr. is still a developmental level route runner. Yes, he can win downfield, but the better route runner today is Travis Hunter.
I mean, that doesn't matter. What I'm saying is that either one of these things is just like
– they can both eat, man. T. Higgins and Chase can both eat.
they'll both eat, but they won't both be eating at a top tier level.
Travis Hunter has the capability of coming in and being a Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, one of these guys, even with that kind of talent.
How many times have we seen like Thielen and Diggs?
And what does that do to Brian Thomas? I'm saying that both of them can't. Both of them can't.
So you don't think both of them at the same time can be top 24 assets in Dynasty? Or I should say, sorry, just in a singular season. Like
I think they can both be top 15.
That's what I'm trying to get at is like, if they can both be top 24 guys year in and year out at wide receiver, then I think it's worth it. Cause I think they'll exchange. Like, it's not going to be like Thomas isn't going to like, Thomas is not a target aggregator like Michael Thomas or Cooper Kupp. Like, I think if a guy that's going to lead this team in targets would be more likely to be Travis Hunter than Brian Thomas.
I'm not disputing that. I'm just talking about the viability of both of them, you know, in the same offense.
All right. So with all this Travis Hunter talk, Cody, are you going Travis Hunter at the 103?
No, I'm taking Hampton.
Okay.
give me Amari and Hampton. Give me the running back in Los Angeles attached to Mr. Harbaugh, who we just know is going to maniacally run this football. Well, you know, this year, yeah, it may be with Najee predominantly, but Omarion's going to get his touches, and it might just come, you know, what's that, week 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15? Is that kind of when the fantasy playoffs happen? Yeah, we're probably going to get some value there.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm taking Hunter at the 104. Like, give me the guy with the upside that, you know, in Dynasty, I know that, and I'll bet you, if I was drafting here at the 104, I bet you, I know for a fact, at the 204, the 304, the 404, you know, if I was drafting a team here instead of just going in a round robin, I would be just taking running backs the whole rest of the way. It's such a great running back class, but if I can get one of these top wide receivers, I'm gonna go ahead and get that done. So for me, at the very top, it goes Dash and Jinty. Then my next decision in Superflex is, do I take Cam Ward or do I take Travis Hunter here? That would just have to do with the makeup of my roster in that particular league. So to get him at the four here, I see it as a little bit of value. So that's where I go. Right. Trash man.
Oh, you're taking away the options.
You got to get no cheating for you, trash man. You got to go by the seat of your pants.
Then I'll take Henderson.
You might want to go to Roster Watch and download the rookie cheat sheet, trash man. You might need a little help as we get a little further down the board.
I'll take Henderson. I just think, I mean, he's automatically the best back in that backfield. Alex finally can rest on the sleep easy knowing that Ramondre Stevenson is the best option for the New England Patriots. Yeah, Henderson can do it all. He can do what Gibson and Stevenson do in one player. So on a burgeoning offense, I mean, New England's going to be better this season offensively, so I'll take him.
Cody?
I kind of, be honest with you guys, I wanted to take Travion at three.
I mean, you can see, I'm like you, Cody. I'm not saying I'm getting, you know, I'm not getting cold feet on Omari and Hampton, but
the heck just happened?
I don't know. It feels like we're all off the screen. Yeah, there we go. I'm not getting cold feet on Omari and Hampton, but it's getting closer and closer to me. I'm just thinking about taking Travion over him. I'm not gonna do it just because the whole time I've had the higher evaluation score on Hampton than I have had Travion. But this doesn't feel like the 5 years ago Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jonathan Taylor thing, right? Wherever people were putting Clyde ahead of JT. And you said, how can you do that whenever one guy's situation is better and one guy's the much better talent? It's like Omari and Hampton, I don't think of him as just the world's better talent in the same way that JT was over CEH. So I go back and forth about it, but I just, in Dynasty, I'm taking Hampton over him still for right now. We've talked about it before and things like Origins over on Fast Draft, where we're just talking about this next year, and in the Best Ball Cheat Sheet, Travion is well ahead of Omari and Hampton. This is more of a play for 2026 and down the stretch in 2025.
I have a competing roster that I ended up with the 102 in, and I took Henderson 102. I bastardized the cheat sheet and took Henderson 102 because this team's ready to win a championship, and that's exactly how I treated it. I was like, I think I can win if I get a Gibbs level output, something in that category.
I hope you'd win if you're contending and you get a Gibbs level output. Golly, you should win. Gosh.
All right, 106 here. I'm gonna go Tet. I mean, I think Tet. There'll be people that'll make the case to take
Trashman him. Trashman is shaking his head like he hates it.
2 and 3. And here's the thing, Trashman. I don't like Tet.
You like Bryce Young?
Well, I think Bryce Young got a lot better as the season went on last year.
Compared to what?
Compared to what he was.
Okay.
So, and I think that, you know, as long as he can stay upright, which we know the Panthers have spent, I think they have like a top three salary cap spending offensive line right now in the NFL after 2 years ago. And they just picked up Ike Ekwonu's fifth-year option. But I've seen people take McMillan at 2. I've also seen him fall to 7, and I'll happily take him here at 6. I just think 150, 160 targets is likely in his range of outcomes in 2025. And I just, you know, as long as he doesn't only catch like 70 of those, I'll be sitting in a good spot.
We're about to get to some interesting times here, Trash Man. Things are gonna get tough here over these next few rounds of picks. But for me, this one is hard. I'm going Quinshon Judkins.
No.
Well, it might be hard for you. Give me Judkins here. We've talked about it before. The Dylan. I'm more worried than your average, I think, analyst about Dylan Sampson and his effect here on this whole thing. In talking with other people and going on other people's podcasts, I think I'm a rare example of somebody that's kind of high on Judkins and Dylan Sampson. I kind of think that that's going to be the identity of the offense. It's not going to be around a quarterback. So I think both those guys are going to do just fine. I definitely prefer Quinshon over Sampson, but I think that both are reasonable picks.
Yeah, I love Quinshon. I mean, I almost took him with my second pick.
That would have been wild. All right, well, you're up. So, what do you got?
It's gonna be my boy Egbuka.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that.
You're not worried at all. Just about like him not getting out there at all in his first season.
I mean, why would he not? I mean, he's better than McMillan.
Yes.
Okay, he played like 70% of his snaps out of the slot, but he's versatile. You can move him outside.
I hope that they don't, especially with Chris Godwin coming off injury, I hope that they don't sacrifice his slot.
You don't draft a guy that high to sit him on the bench.
Well, but you've had like, it's just interesting to me. It's like he's the one who's the most, who feels like.
No, I didn't like it as much. When they first drafted him, the more I thought about it, the more I came around. I mean, it's just like if we talk about rookie receivers landing on good offenses, which Tech McMillan did not, I mean, then Egbuka's the guy.
Wait, what? Wait, so you're weighing – so, okay, I think I heard you say this on the pod maybe last week, last Thursday or Friday. You're done drafting guys on bad teams, right?
Yeah.
That's what you said.
Yeah.
So you're done
drafting Malik Nabers?
That might be the outlier. Okay. Okay.
We knew a year ago that Malik Nabers was going to get absolutely peppered. It's like, it's the same thing.
No,
and you can argue it's not really an argument. Bryce is better than Daniel Jones.
I mean, but the thing is, Tech McMillan isn't alone in that receiving core.
Who's going to garner targets?
Adam
Thielen's going to get 70.
Xavier Leggett. I mean,
Leggett's turned to dust, Kit Trashman, and he looks fat.
down there in South Carolina.
I mean, I just don't think Thielen's going to disappear. I mean, Young already has the rapport with him. I don't think that's going to go away just because McMillan's there.
Trashman, is your take that you prefer Emeka Egbuka over Ted McMillan and Dynasty? It's just in a vacuum.
I think he's a better NFL player prospect.
I agree.
Well, okay, but I just don't see what the Bucs – like, the pick didn't make any sense to me because, to me, Emeka Egbuka feels like one of the most high-floor guys, like outside of Hunter, who's an absolute phenom. It's like Egbuka to me
feels like – Trashman could have got him at 11.
Yeah, well, he feels like one of the more high floor kind of players, and it's like those are the kind of players that you would expect a team that wants somebody to come right in and play a whole lot immediately. And I don't see.
You don't think he's going to start at slot?
Would you move Godwin out of the slot based on?
I mean, he's going to start the season.
He's just so much more effective, dude. We're talking a difference of like 4.5 points in fantasy scoring in years where he's been featured out of the slot on a per game basis.
I mean, we don't even know what Godwin's going to be like week one.
All the reporting we've gotten, people we've talked to behind the scenes said that this thing's a go for the start of the season.
But I don't know. But there's something fishy about him taking less money to like.
There's nothing fishy about it.
Regardless, he played 53% in the slot and 37% the year before. Like, I don't think he's not this like 80% slot guy.
Egbuka, a high pick, arguably one of the best receivers in the draft, on one of the better offenses in the league. I don't see how he misses. Teams love them. He won the interview process. Like, I think he's a great fit for any NFL team. He's a great fit for the Buccaneers.
ADP is right now on Keep Trade Cut? Anybody?
I'm gonna guess it's higher than I would take him, but it's lower than this. I'm gonna guess it's is it a decimal or is it a number?
What do you mean? Is it a decimal?
Is it 9.7 or something?
No, it's just a number. Yeah, they just do numbers. They don't have decimals.
Okay, so he's picked 10, the 110.
Trash man.
I'll say 12.
Eight.
Yeah. So right where all this argument is exactly where trash man took him. All right. Cody's up next.
All right. 109. I'm gonna take the home run layup here. Caleb Johnson. He's gonna walk in and he's gonna be literally in the Najee Harris role. I'm not listening to any of this Jalen Warren stuff again. I think Jalen Warren and Kenny Gainwell are great. You know, number 2-3 punches, just as Jalen Warren has been and just like Kenny Gainwell has been in Philadelphia. Caleb's going to come in and continue this 250 carry stretch that Najee Harris has kind of led the last 4 years in Pittsburgh. Give me 5, 6, 7, 8 touchdowns. Give me 250 carries, and I'll take my 109, Caleb Johnson, and I'll make the championship next year.
I mean, yeah, Caleb Johnson might outperform Hampton this season.
I think that's called cheat sheet. I have Caleb ahead of him.
Yeah, I'd put mine as well.
Yeah, I have Caleb Johnson and the guy that I'm going to take ahead of him for best ball for the season. That's RJ Harvey for the Broncos, second round pick, Sean Payton's system. Just a miserable, even trash man looks at this running back room and says he can't, this thing stinks. So, RJ Harvey for me, him and Caleb Johnson, they're in the same bucket, dude. They're kissing cousins, dude. These guys are right next to each other. I can see the argument either way. I slightly prefer Harvey just because I had them as my running back 5 and my running back 6 in the class. And I do think that Harvey's situation, I can't get away from just thinking of Harvey's situation and with Sean Payton and just the upside of him possibly being an Alvin Kamara type, Reggie Bush type, is the way that I find the upside of getting a Kamara on my roster just a little bit higher than the upside of getting a Najee plus on my roster. So I'm going to take the RJ Harvey here.
My pick. I'm taking Tyler Warren
in non-premium, huh?
Yeah.
Who's throwing him the football?
It doesn't matter. That's the thing. He's a safety blanket. He is the safety blanket for that offense. I mean, whether it's Richardson, whether it's Jones, it's going to be a crappy quarterback probably, and it's going to need a safety blanket. And Warren and that Colts finally have their go-to tight end. He's going to get tons of targets in this offense.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
All right.
All right. At the 112 to close out the first round, I just won the championship, and I have Travis Kelce on this hypothetical roster, and I'm going to replace him with Colston Loveland. Give me the real tight end one in the class, Colston Loveland to the Chicago Bears to close out the first round.
Okay. I always ask you this. Where is Cam Scataboo now on Keep Trade Cut? 18 or something?
Scam Cataboo is 17 on Keep Trade Cut.
I'll reach for
after five. Higgins and Burden and Dart and Golden.
Oh, wait. Golden's still on the board?
Correct.
Oh, give me – I'm sorry. Matt Golden in a landslide. Yep. Matthew Golden here for Green Bay. I think he enters that team as their wide receiver one. Trash man.
I'll take Luther Burden.
Damn it.
It's pretty good.
I mean,
he's pretty good at football, trash man.
He could have been the Bears receiver one.
I mean, that's absolutely live to happen. It's just totally live to happen for sure.
Yep.
So yep. I think it's a little. He's going to have to take a circuitous route to get there, I think. It's not just a locked and loaded R.J. Harvey kind of Caleb Johnson sort of situation, I don't think. Travion, right? But it's like if he's good enough, and if we see 2023 Missouri Luther Burden on an NFL football field, he's not just starting for Chicago. He's lighting the league in fantasy on fire. He's like absolute smithereens. So I get it. I just worry about, man, they drafted Colston Loveland, they have Cole Kmet. How much 12 personnel are they going to run? And when they do, who are they taking off the field?
I mean, but you can say, I mean, you said the thing about Matthew Golden and his situation. I mean, it's just like that's one of the.
But that's the thing is, whenever we talk about DJ Moore and we talk about Roma Dunze, we're not talking about Dontavian Wicks and Romeo Doubs. And like a hurt Christian Watson that's not going to play at all next year, and a Jaden Reed who it is in his own specified role. That honestly, to me, I don't know what you guys are going to do in the Dynasty Top 250. I've been trying to do everything I can to sell Jaden Reed, and nobody wants him. I can't get a second round pick for him in rookie drafts. Mm. So
I mean, who then is their chain mover if not Reed?
Well, I'm saying he's in a very specialized – I mean, you don't think Matthew Golden's a chain mover? Did you watch the college football playoff?
I mean –
he did.
But that's – I don't know that's how they'll use him.
I certainly would. I'd use him like that. I'd use him over the – I'd use Matthew Golden all over the place, man. I love that pick. Cody's up after you take Burden.
I'll take Dart. This team's in a complete rebuild. Man, we got Hampton, who's probably not going to give us much till week 10. Dart, probably not going to give us much till week 10. This team's in flux. We're just trying to build depth. I'll take Jackson Dart here at the 203 in super flex. I like it.
All right. Well, I'll take Scataboo, Cam Scataboo for the Giants. One spot ahead of his ADP. I think. I just don't understand why people don't like Scat. I mean, could he fail? Yeah, man, he could fail. Whenever there's this unique a prospect that wins in such unique ways, it's like there's going to be obvious questions. It's like, how much can it translate? Can he be this dynamic of a pass catcher? Is he going to be able to bounce off every he's not going to be able to bounce off every tackle like he did in college. I understand that. But I don't hear anybody saying that about Ashton Jeanty.
Well, I mean, they're different animals, but I mean, I don't hate Scataboo. I don't hate him in the situation that he's in. I just think it's kind of – I mean, the Giants still don't have a power running back. It's
you don't think Scataboo's a power running back?
I mean, I think he's I don't know.
He's a mix of a. He's. I mean, he's like the epitome of a power running back when they run.
I think he's the epitome of a bust, if I'm being honest.
Between the tackles, and look, I mean, could he be a bust? I mean,
I took him at 205, so I got some bread in here, but
it's a high variance pick. He could be like a PPR monster, dude. Are you kidding? But like we all watched him last season.
But is that because they're getting swamp donkeyed by everybody, and then next year they draft a running back in the second round? Because Tracy's gone. All right,
like you bring a bigger guy in so that you keep Tracy as your third down pass catching back.
Camp Scatabu, am I going crazy here? Doesn't he weigh like 220 pounds?
He's probably like 215.
5'9", 219, and he runs a 4.7.
He's big.
He's the definition of Ramondre Stevenson. So what's that going to get us?
Well, you guys were the ones who always told me when I told you that Ramondre Stevenson stinks, that he was a good fantasy asset for a while there.
But what was the peak of Ramondre Stevenson now that he's being replaced by Travion Henderson in year four? What do we get out of him? We got a 1,000-yard season with 5 rushing touchdowns and 69 receptions in year number two.
Was that 2020?
You're hoping 2022. Goal line short yardage back.
2022?
Yeah. Was that like RB, what, 10?
In PPR?
Yeah.
RB 12.
So you got an RB one season out of him.
Yeah. Give me an RB1 season in the second round of my dynasty rookie draft.
This is Lions.
All right, I'm taking my next pick. It's Trey Harris.
Whoa, are you serious? You're going wide receiver here? This is so it's good to get. It's good that we're starting to mix in these shows and go to the. We're going to one show a day for a while here until we get into July and start getting into the true heart of redraft season. And it's good because this is us, like the trash man being on the show here inserts a new element in. That would have not been a pick that you saw from me and Cody just structurally around here.
Trey, I mean, he could end up being the number one receiver for the Chargers. I mean, Ladd McConkey's been their guy, but he's not as versatile as Harris is. I think Harris,
dude.
If you're talking about receiving cores being wide open.
No, they're trash, man. There's zero chance he takes over Ladd's role as the wide receiver one. Zero. Less than zero.
We'll see.
We will. Do you want him to?
We'll see.
I mean.
Bet.
I'm saying it's within the realm of possibilities.
Okay.
Cheesesteak.
Do you want to make a bet that Trey Harris doesn't score 3/4 of the PPR fantasy points of Ladd McConkey this next season?
Let's do it touchdowns.
No.
Curveball.
All right, Cody, you pick.
Okay. Where are we at here? 206. This is the team I took Teddero McMillan in the first round with. This is a very interesting one that, I've been in, I don't know what I've got, like 7 drafts going right now. And I've taken this player. I've taken him at 401. I've taken him at 208. I've taken him at 211. I've taken him at 309. And varying sites have varying ADPs. And I've also been sniped on him a couple of times. I'm going to take Jaden Blue.
I was figuring you were going to pick.
I want the back I want the back in this situation. I want him in Dallas. Everybody's wanted the running back in Dallas. And now all of a sudden, because it's Jaden Blue, people are like, no, it's because of 4th-round pick. It's like, well, I've already tied the line on the show last week to the athleticism, the size, the speed, the reception ability, even though I think Gibbs is better, the college coach, all the things tie to him being similar to Jahmyr Gibbs and learning under the tutelage of a coach that was coaching Jahmyr Gibbs at Georgia Tech in Tashard Choice. So the opportunity's there. And I think when August comes around and Byron goes out there to the Cowboys training camp, just like last year, he came back and he goes, Rico Dowdle's got the legs. The rest of these guys are gassed. He's going to come back. And this year he's going to say, Jaden Blue's got the juice. And then you're going to see that ADP go, whoa! up to like round 8 in seasonal, and we're going to have tons of him.
He's wearing number 34, which makes it even cooler. I mean, come on. So yeah, Jaden Blue in Dallas, that would have been my obvious next pick. What was that, the 207? 206. Yeah, I mean, you got him at the 309. I was able to do that pre NFL draft, but I was not able to do that in any of these rookie drafts that I'm in. So you've been lucky to do that. My next pick then would be easy. Although I would love to have Blue here, I'm going to keep buying into what we talked about with the Jags offense, and I'm going to go with Bashaul Tuten here. Has he been picked?
No, you've had the opportunity to do the Cleveland right here. This is the Quinshon team.
No. I'm not going to do that. not that I really even look at that. But yeah, Bashaul Tuten here. I've never been on Tank Bigsby. I think that I tend to think that they don't like Travis Etienne very much. Although it is a new group of people there with him. The fact that he was made available in trade during the draft makes me think that I think Bashaul Tuten by the end could be the most valuable of all three of those guys. Trash man.
Okay. I kind of want to go out on a limb here. I want a running back. And I want a guy who could potentially contribute in year one. And for me, that next guy is Gordon.
Ollie Gordon?
Ollie Gordon.
I just have to end the show there. Ollie Gordon is going to get 10 in year one? How?
I love this.
I mean, do the Dolphins have a goal line back?
That's a fair point.
Okay.
That's a fair point. I mean, and also Achan, what's the one knock on him is we've always been worried about his health, longevity. Jalen Wright is there, who seems a little bit of a wild card. I was informed yesterday in the chat on a show that Jeff Wilson is still there. Didn't know he was still in the league. I thought he kind of retired a year ago maybe. But
they also they brought in somebody else.
Mostert's gone. They got Alexander Mattison.
Madison. I wouldn't worry about him. I like OG3 better than Madison for sure. I think it's a little bit of a reach there, Trash Man.
Hey, but I mean, I'm looking for upside at the running back position.
All right, Cody, let's see if at this pace we're only probably gonna get through three rounds. So let's see if we can pick it up here a little bit.
Jay Higgins, give me Jaden Higgins. Give me the number 2 in Houston. Matt yesterday on the Podfather reminded me of the Mike Evans, Vincent Jackson years. I think of these big duos, these big rebounders, these 6'4" guys, and with all the coverage going over to Nico. I think we can see Jaden Higgins in a great role here as the number 2 in Houston. So I'll take him at the 2-9.
What is Dylan Sampson on keep trade cut?
Dylan Sampson on keep trade cut is at 24.
I'm going to have to reach a little bit. I'll take Dylan Sampson. I talked about it earlier. I think both Dylan Sampson and Quinshon Judkins are fantasy values next year for the Cleveland Browns. Trash man.
I will take Jack Besh.
I think that that's good. Why do you like Besh?
I mean, I think that I think he's going to be their possession guy. I think he's going to be their chain mover. And I think Geno connects with the player like that. I think it's going to be an easy outlet for him and an offense that's getting better.
All right.
That will have Genty to be the onus of. It's going to open things up in that passing game.
All right, 212. Took a tight end in the first with this roster, so I'm going to take. I could entertain Arroyo for sure. There's a lot more interesting weaponry in Seattle to see how that unfolds this year. So I'm a little nervous on that. I'm going to go. It's a tough spot. Could take. I don't want to do that. You know what? Picking from the 12, I'm going to take Jarquez Hunter.
Can you add Dylan Sampson and Trash Man's pick and Jarquez onto the sheet so I don't get messed up here?
Oh, I thought yeah. I did. My bad. I was on a different sheet.
So Jarquez. All right. Kind of taking my line of thought here that, you know, Kyren, they haven't picked up his fifth-year option yet there with for the Rams, and there could be a chance that Blake Corum is just a little bit cooked. He didn't get
Corum's, yeah, exactly. Corum's cooked, and Kyren's walking. Jarquez has got like 500 carries under his belt in college in 4 years, never more than 200 carries, doesn't have over 1,000. He's got a great profile, 20 reception season, but it doesn't seem like a great profile because – doesn't have a 1,000-yard season. It doesn't have 200 plus carries. It's in the SEC, but people for some reason are kind of fading on it. So I love Jarquez Hunter there, though.
I said I was going to take all running backs. I feel like this player, he slipped enough to where it feels like he's a value, at least in the rookie drafts that I've done. Like I said, I don't is Jalen Noel a value here based on the consensus?
I think so. Noel is currently 22. So yeah, it's a value.
Okay. Let me take Jalen Noel. Like Cody said, I can certainly understand the Twin Towers approach here with the Houston Texans and C.J. Stroud throwing it on the outside to the Jaden Higgins of the world and to the Nico Collins, but I can't get out of my mind that through the process I've been significantly more impressed with Jalen Noel than I have with Jaden Higgins. And it's like we're being honest. That's the God's honest truth. I've been more impressed with Jalen Noel. I've been impressed with Jaden Higgins that he's been able to be really good through every step of the process. But some of the flashes I've seen from Noel are just like Amon-Ra St. Brown like. So I'll take Jalen Noel here.
Love it.
Okay. I'll take Mason Hunter. I'll go another tight end.
Mason
here.
Taylor.
I think Mason Taylor, sorry. Jason Taylor's son.
You got to get that right because that last name's an important part of why.
I know. It was a Freudian slip. Mason Taylor is going to – I mean, this is a direct path to fantasy production as potentially the tight end one for Justin Fields. Smart is the only guy really potentially ahead of him right now and that tight end depth chart. So I think Taylor becomes the number one there later.
What about Jeremy Rucker?
Ruckert's there too, but I mean, Ruckert, he just hasn't. They went out and signed Smart. So they signed Smart and then they draft Taylor, kind of tells us kind of what they, like you always say, draft season, they can't lie to you. And they kind of told us what they probably think of Jimmy Ruckert, unfortunately, even though we like him.
Fair enough.
All right. 303. I'm going to go ahead and take the tight end Elijah Arroyo in Seattle. Big dog. I love this. I mean, like I said the last pick I had, I mentioned this, but it's a lot of new weaponry in Seattle. JSN's obviously been there for a year. Cooper Kupp, Torrey Horton, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Elijah Arroyo, Sam Darnold. We'll see how this thing deploys, but I think Arroyo can take that job from Noah Fant and make him expendable within a year.
Okay. I'm going to go here with Breshard Smith, running back out of SMU that went to Kansas City. We heard reports from around the Kansas City beat that they needed to come out of this draft with a running back. We know what Breshard Smith brings as far as a pass catcher, a versatile weapon out of the backfield. Just it's so weird. The Kansas City offense, it feels like they have some young burgeoning weapons. But they kind of need more weapons, especially in the run game. And Breshard Smith brings a little something that that we've really liked through the process. A guy that we were super impressed with every time that we've seen him live. So Breshard Smith is where I'll go here. Love the landing spot. And I think it's probably a tiny bit of a reach, but I don't care.
Okay, my next pick is going to be Kyle Williams,
who went to the Patriots.
I just think, I mean, like that wide receiver room is weak. We know that. I mean, Stephon Diggs is their number one, and Stephon Diggs is old. They got a great young quarterback. They've got arguably the most versatile running back in the draft. I think it's a good position for Williams.
All right. So I'll go here at the 306. And I think Taj Brooks, running back Cincinnati. Similar thought here to Jarquez, except for I think that Brooks is going to get me some work this year. And I don't think he'll get buried off the cuff like Corum did a year ago in that Kyron Williams backfield, because I don't think Cincinnati is in the situation where they wanted to feed Chase Brown the 80-plus percent opportunity share. I think they just ended up doing it because Zach Moss got hurt and everything else on that roster was just kind of like, it is what it is, and Chase Brown could take it on. I don't think the intention is to do that. So Taj Brooks, who had a 1,500-yard season at Texas Tech and is a bowling ball, fits well in this offense. So I'll take Taj Brooks, Cincinnati.
All right. This is what Tyler Shuck's not off the board?
Nope.
I think we let him slip through the cracks a little here in this draft.
I almost took him last pick.
So Tyler Shuck, Saints, quarterback. He could start this – I could have a QB2 starter in Superflex.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say. I mean, we'll have to keep our eye on it. But the NFL liked him more than most.
To me, he's just an underwhelming prospect. I don't think he's that much of a – I mean –
he's kind of good, Trash Man. He's kind of good.
I mean, yeah, sure. I just don't think he's –
it was kind of
a
hard choice between him and Jackson Dart at the Senior Bowl. Neither looked that great.
I mean, I think he's an NFL. I think he's more NFL ready than Jackson Dart for sure.
Can he be QB20 this year in fantasy?
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good pick.
Yeah.
But I didn't pick him because there was another quarterback who I wanted
God
to take.
It, trash
so,
man.
So here goes Milroe.
Come on. Right.
Here goes Milroe.
No, I'm giving you Sanders. You get Sanders.
No, I'm taking Milroe. I mean, you get potentially something in the realm of it, what we think Anthony Richardson could be, but he gets a fresh start in Seattle, playing behind Sam Darnold. Come on, how long until the wheels fall off of that? Jalen Milroe gets to come up a little slowly though behind Darnold. Darnold, you know, if he tapers off near the end of the season, then maybe you have an NFL ready Milroe at that point.
I can't be the only one that appreciates the fact that Trashman said what Anthony Richardson can be, not could have been. So I like the utilization of that. Milroe was going to be my next pick, so I love that. At the 309, I like a number of these running backs, but I love T. Ferg. Give me Terrence Ferguson, Los Angeles Rams. Potential starting tight end sooner than later.
All right. So that's good. I'm going to go with Jalen Royals here from Utah State. Goes to the Kansas City Chiefs. A guy who I comped him to as kind of a Jaden Reed-ish type player. Not Jaden Reed Packers, Jaden Reed Michigan State, with the way that he was used and the way that he was deployed. He had elite yards per route run in his final season. Young redshirt freshman breakout age, goes to an offense where we could see as many as two of those wide receivers in Kansas City suspended to start the season. So he could be forced into early opportunity there, but Jalen Royals is a guy that I like the player. Certainly love, you know, if it's a player who I like and think is good, you know, even if I got to wait a little while here at the end of the third round, he's connected to Patrick Mahomes. Trash man.
Okay. For me, I'm going to stick with the same team, different position.
Rashard he's already Smith. Gone. I took, yeah.
Oh, he is? Oh,
5 points. Yeah. 5 pushups.
It should be like the NFL draft where like Cody
get the pick
until you come up.
All right. Then in that case, I'll take another guy of a
similar. I was like, who are you going to take on KC?
To me, well, then I'm going to take Etienne.
Trevor Etienne.
Yeah. I think there's a path to fantasy relevance there. I think he does some things that Hubbard can't do. I think he does some things that Brooks can't do. I think he fills a niche there for Carolina in an offense that's going to need somebody to, you know, take some dump offs, some screens. I think there's definitely a path to fantasy relevance for.
All right, Cody, make your pick and take us out, dude.
All right. 312. This roster clearly just won the championship. It's what I do. Jarquez Hunter's already on the roster. Colson Loveland's already on the roster. In the 312, I don't really want these running backs. I think I could probably take Woody Marks here if I really wanted to. Maybe Devin Neal. I love me some Torrey Horton, but I think I can generally get him in the fourth round. So I'm just going to do the damn thing and come on down. The Cleveland starting quarterback in 2025, 6, 27, 28. Give me Shedeur Sanders at the 36th overall spot.
Hey, he didn't drop as far as he did in the draft.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Support American-made tariff-free clothing with American Giant. They aren't affected by tariffs because their clothing products never left the U.S. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.